CliffCentral.com.
And then?
Hey, Maromza.
So we decided to take the plunge.
Of course we did. And here we are.
I'm actually, this is a very, very proud moment for me.
I'm glad you're feeling proud because I'm like, oh.
The nerves and everything at once, you know.
All of it. Butterflies, a mini diarrhea here and there.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh. you know, Ramster, I'm actually quite excited for one reason.
Yeah?
You know, many of us never really commit to anything, you know, until it's, you know, to a point where you actually have to drop it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So essentially it's like we came here and we spoke to the bosses and we say, we want the show.
And
they
guess
said,
what?
We will give you a show.
And they did.
And that was the first point of commitment.
Yeah. And I was like, was she serious? Was she joking? It's a trap. Maromza, don't take it. It's a trap.
And I'm quite amazed at how, you know, the boss lady was so nice and cool and said, I like it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually, you know how the industry is, you know, the typical radio industry.
Hey, Batu, that whole presentation on the laptop that we had prepared.
You go there and
she didn't even want to see it.
You speak for hours. You know, you speak for hours. You go on for many months.
With PowerPoint, baby.
No. We got here on the unradio version of events.
Yeah.
And we speak once and they say, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we sat there and we just looked at each other. What's going on?
Yeah, we went like, the fact that we said that was so unradio.
Anyway, this is Romeo Mabasa.
And this is Rami Cheney.
And we are doing this thing.
Yeah. So welcome to Belighted.
Belighted. I like it.
Yeah.
So Belighted, part of delighted.
Yeah. You know, wow. That's how it works.
Wow.
Belighted.
Yeah.
Because you are delighted, but then be lighted because we're going to have a lot of light bulbs moment. We're going to shed a light on a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to enlighten one another and make sure that people are, you know,
so
more enlightened. And we're going to illuminate nice things, beautiful things,
bring
beautiful people and bring the most amazing people in studio that you've never thought they do the stuff that they do.
I'm actually very excited again because now we decided to take our 20-year friendship on air.
Absolutely.
So,
like an open affair.
So this thing of saying there's no friendship between a guy and a girl.
You know what I mean?
It's been 20 years.
Can you believe it? That's like almost just a little bit less than my whole life. But yeah. But I mean, we're practically twins, you know? We're practically twins. So
yeah, we're actually born the same.
We're 3 months apart.
Yeah, we're actually born the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're 3 months apart.
Yeah, this is awesome.
And guess which one is older?
Okay,
never mind.
Focus.
Okay, I'm focusing.
You need
to
calm down now.
Okay, fine.
I think it's important that, you know, the saying that, you know, when you want people to support you, you got to give them the vision.
Absolutely.
And as a result, it's important for people to understand why we're doing this
and
where are we taking them. You know, there are so many radio stations. There are so many shows. Why this show? And perhaps I can give you a mini Belighted View interview.
Yeah, maybe we must do that. So do you want to ask me questions or must I ask you questions?
The thing is, yeah, why the idea of this show, Belighted?
So are you saying I must answer?
How? Can't he?
All of a sudden, I feel like a contestant in a show, in a competition.
Yeah, so.
Okay, now let me break it down why we chose Belighted. Belighted because I think we don't put enough emphasis on good things, whether it's light, basically. You know, as in like light stuff, pleasant things, things that are going to make people aware, enlightenment, awareness, people to be more conscious. These young people, they say you need to be woke, you know.
Yeah.
Being talking about a whole lot of woke stuff and bringing lit people, you know, lit. You know, my daughter like saying, ah, mama, it's lit. I'm like, And that's not, when I say my daughter, I mean the 9-year-old diva.
Yes, that's what
the
I
The 9-year-old diva. Ah, mama, that's lit. I'm like, yo, but Celo knows what it means to be lit.
Okay, my turn.
Your turn.
With your permission, of course. So I think for me, it was very important. And, you know, I've been on radio for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped because of other business commitments and all that. But you know, one thing, you know, once the radio bug has bit, it's so difficult not to go back.
Yeah.
You know,
but
equally well, I find that we've been contributing to so many shows because we get invited.
Yes.
You know, and we give away our IP. We've got all these great ideas. You go on a show and people were like, we were listening to you on the show and you actually said something so powerful. But then we find that you are only there for like 10 minutes and you actually wanted to make your point even further. But then, you know, So I think for me, that's where Belighted was born, to say,
absolutely.
But if people feel that there's value in what I talk about, why don't we actually create a bigger platform
yeah.
for us to actually talk about these things? You know, we have an opportunity to bring, you know, belated guests in the studio,
yeah.
you know, and our viewers, of course. And let me pause right there. We actually didn't welcome people.
No, I did. I said hello to everyone. I said, welcome to the Belighted Show. I did.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So we are clear you also did it for me, okay?
Yeah, on behalf
right.
of...
So, yeah.
Do
so,
I need to welcome, say, oh, protocol observed.
Welcome to Belighted. This is Maromza, as they call me on Twitter. And I'm so excited to actually be sharing a stage with my best friend.
Absolutely.
And we talk about life. You know, we talk
you
about...
You know, clearly I love you, Romeo, because... Yeah. I would have killed you a long time ago. I would have killed you a long time ago. But clearly the love is better and is bigger than the both of us.
Okay. Yeah. So back to why I thought this show would be great. And, you know, we do things in an unconventional way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're going to have live shows, live performances.
Yes.
So our celebrity artist friend, you must
they're
get
all
ready.
Coming in.
Yeah.
And you know what I like about this whole thing of Belighted is that, okay, you know how we speak when we do our own talks out there. We hardly write speeches. So yeah. we are like such of the cuff people, of the cuff presenters and speakers.
Yeah.
And I think it will be another element of saying to people that we are not stuck on a certain pattern. Yeah. Rather we'll judge by the mood of how we're feeling in studio, and then we get to do anything and everything that we want to do. You know?
Talking about moods. So how much does social media actually impact on our relationships at home, you know, married people? I mean, look at how you actually put a twist. You put a knife in introducing this show.
Yeah.
And people actually caught feelings for days.
For days. But then remember, that was the whole idea. That was the whole idea, so that we can say to people, this is what we're doing. And then that's what was going to open one of the topics that we're dealing with today, that how much of social media do you believe, and how much of the hype does it like make you catch feelings? Mm. Because everyone thought we were going to get married. They thought we were an item. They were like, we thought you guys are in love.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, it's Romeo, guys. Nah, Romeo, me, Romeo, I never. You know what I mean?
It's fine, it's fine. I'm not bruised. I'm okay.
I'm saying it because I know you're okay. We know each other like that. I know you're okay. I mean, come on. Maromza, you've been through all my relationships and you've just been standing there on the sidelines watching me. And I did the same with you.
Ooh.
Ah, you know what I mean?
So we did this live thing and we are still continuing.
And we're still continuing, you know? Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to be single. I'm kidding, guys. I'm so single. It's actually not funny. I'm looking for a man. I need a man.
Don't worry. I'll give you a
winter free... was bad.
Okay. So you know I wrote a book.
Yes.
And it's
me book. Too. Okay. Yes.
Can you just chill?
Okay.
So I wrote a book, and my book is called Motivated and Personally Engaged.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a chapter called Personal Stability. And in Personal Stability, for example, we talk about, you know, those things that you could actually look at, you know, when you look into getting into a relationship.
Yeah.
And also we're looking at the issue of what's important to you. So one of the stability points is physical stability.
Yeah.
Where we look at the issue of health. You know, unfortunately, most of us, when we go into relationships, we don't disclose our health status.
No.
You know, 6 months after marriage, you find that my heart is going to stop anytime soon.
No, but then you know what it is as well? Because when you meet a guy, okay, my other guy, I don't know what to call him. He used to say to me, do you know that the first time you meet a woman or a man, you give them a representative of yourself.
Yeah.
And the representative lasts for a good 6-7 months. And, you know, sometimes we don't want to do stuff that we're used to doing. Then you're snoring and then you can't sleep properly because you're afraid you're going to snore.
Yeah.
And you can only go to the bathroom when he's not there or when she's not there because you don't want the smell to be like measured in. Yeah. Scientific stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But then it's like it's a whole representation of yourself for a very long time. And by the time you start becoming yourself, then they realize that... The other one realizes that I don't like the way he smiles or the way he laughs. In fact, he chews so loudly.
A friend of mine, his name is Martin Manamer.
Yeah, I'm not naming names, Shem.
I'm cool like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's one thing that Martin loves to say. He also wrote a book called Are You Married or Buried?
I was clearly buried. Because when I got out, Shem, I rose from the dead like the devil.
Okay, calm down. So there's one thing that he says, and I think it attests to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That, you know, do you fall in love with a personality or do you fall in love with a character?
It's dicey because let me tell you that those, you know, those tweets that people like putting on that, there's this other guy, I think he says he's treating as Mugabe or something like that. It's like, hey, we don't fall in love with the inside of you. So you must make sure you look good. I can't be attracted to your heart. I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
So first is going to be me looking at this body, this hotness standing in front of me. And then you take it from there. But we cannot dispute the fact that every time you get attracted to someone, it has to be something physical first. There's something that catches your eye.
No, definitely. You know,
those
definitely,
legs.
Yeah. But I think to the quickest point is to actually start engaging and talking, you know, so that you can get to learn more about the person.
Absolutely. And that's why we are here and we call ourselves Belighted.
All right.
Belighted with Ramy and Romeo.
Yeah. See, and already I'm already worried about today's show because I think we're going to be all over.
Of course.
So you're going to have to bear with us. You're going to have to bear with us because maybe we kind of like have touched on a point,
but then we just left it.
So I think you can actually continue. If there's anything that you're not sure of from what we said or you still need clarity, you can actually talk to us via social media.
Yeah, tweet us, why not?
Yeah, Maromza.
You are at Maromza.
Yeah.
I should have thought of something romantic. Maromza. Say it again. Maromza. But now just like Rami Train. Rami Train.
No, what's up with the voice?
Maromza. No, because you can't say your name like without. And even your. I mean, Romeo. Like. Yeah. Romeo. No, it's Romeo.
No.
I don't know how. I don't know how your family used to get angry with you. They can't go, "Wana Romeo." Or maybe they just call you Hanya.
Let me tell you how. So, you see, there's a time when Romeo was all over the show, you know, a young boy growing up. They used to call me Romeo.
Right? Yeah.
And then, you know, as I grew older, I became more mature. Now you call me Romeo.
Romeo.
So you get the difference. Right?
Say it again.
Romeo. Yeah? Okay.
So cool. I am so loving
okay,
it
so
right
we,
now.
Okay, we told our listeners that we're talking about how social media actually impacts, you know, or how much of social media has actually influenced their relationships.
Absolutely. I mean, look at a lot of people. Forget that social media is exactly that. You know, you find that you're staying with someone, but you're asking them about where the house key is, and then you actually tweet them. Sweetie, I'm at home, I can't find the house key. You know,
to and that
you send a tweet. Yeah, it is to that extreme.
Yeah.
And others, they take it too personally. Mm. They're those ones who make up and break up on Twitter, on social media, on Facebook. Mm. Others, they put pictures that they wouldn't have. If they did not have access to social media, they would never show to anyone. Do you understand?
But
we've got those people on social media that post about food, and others, they talk about how they work out. And then others, they get that clever, they're savvy, they know how to use technology. They think, listen, this is how I'm going to enhance my business. This is how I'm going to grow my brand. This is what I'm going to do to make sure that I get more income, I get more publicity and all of that, so that people are aware that I am around. Mm. So I think a friend of mine, his WhatsApp status, it says, using my fingers responsibly. Because let me tell you, a lot of people get very excited because it is just there. It's at the tips of your fingers and you just want to quickly tweet.
Yeah.
And sometimes it has gotten, they bully people. And the other day I was tweeting, I said to someone, I tweeted that after the awards, I think it is just so tired that after each and every award ceremony, we have to go and now start crashing AKA and say, Agawinanga. Why?
Yeah.
It has absolutely nothing to do with him, but people love it and he trends. Mm. He was not even there, but he was trendy. And that is actually social bullying. They're bullying him. They're cyber bullying him.
But what about, I think I see the interaction.
Yeah.
But what about the issue of people who, we go on a date and we are a couple.
Yeah.
And you know, 5 minutes after sitting down, we are all on our phones.
Yeah.
I think that really bothers me, you know.
Yeah.
To say, like, how do I take you out, but I'm actually going to engage someone else who's not even on the table. I'm actually going to have a serious conversation with them.
Yeah.
And while you are sitting here, and I guess it's okay. So it's like, where do you draw the line?
We don't have lines anymore, unfortunately. We don't. I think one of the best things is put your phone away.
Mm.
Put your phone away, especially when you're out on a date. Even when you're at home, you know. well, I'm by myself, so I don't have to stress about someone else sitting next to me while I tweet. Or so I do all of that, and I do everything by myself. But there are days where I know that my kids are watching TV on the other side, and I can see them tweeting, and then I will retweet them while I'm in the other room, you know. But I think it has taken out this whole social media thing to a certain extent. It has taken out the personal in relationships, the intimacy of what relationships are all about, you know.
And there's a funny joke to say, you know, when you hear something goes, you hope it's your leg that broke
and it's not your phone. I know.
Having to go and replace that screen,
yeah,
you might as well buy a new one.
and it is so bad. And those were, and remember the cartoon where someone is drowning at the beach, and then people are busy taking photos, and it's like, help me, and they're busy taking a video, and no one is helping this person. So I think we have let social media invade us in very different forms, and we've kind of lost the human element of what it is all about.
And I
because
think,
now when you buy a phone, you don't buy it to make calls. It's all about the perks that comes with it, like what's on the phone. You're worried about the quality of the camera, the film, the, you know, megapixels, all those things that people talk about. That's what you're worried about. You're not worried about making a phone call. You know, I don't even have a watch. I use my phone as a time. I'm like, oh, it's 15:20, sweetie.
But I'm also thinking that, you know, the issue with social media, you know, 10 years ago, what was our social media? What were we doing 10 years ago? Because we are so entrenched in social media right now. The question then we raise again is, what kind of interaction will we be doing 10 years from now? Will we still be on Twitter? Will we still be on Facebook?
Don't even start. Because remember, there was that whole tweet when someone said they thought by 2016 in October, Twitter will be extinct. And someone with a horrible, horrible heart went back to find that tweet. Like, who does that? And it just trended all over again. You know, so don't lay a trap for yourself.
You know what's my point? My point is that do I allow this to take over my life, knowing that it might phase out and I'll still remain, or do I just go with the flow? That's just something that I'm thinking about. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, there's anything wrong with social media or whatever, but all I'm saying is, you know, the way I am so entrenched, I'd rather lose family time, lose friendships, you know, because I just gotta be on Twitter. I just gotta be, you know, that's my question to myself, perhaps.
Yeah.
You see, so essentially, that's what we need to answer.
Yeah, well, I don't know what listeners think, but they must just tweet us, tell us, and, you know, tell us what they think, because I think to a certain element, to a certain point, we're just going to lose our minds completely. Because you wake up, what's the first thing you look at? Your phone. You know what I mean? And then you like seeing that whole thing online. What did Romeo say? What did Mang Mang say?
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't buzz, you're thinking, when you don't have a tweet,
you
or
are,
a mention,
you are
start shaking your phone, you're like,
something is wrong with this phone.
Don't these people know who I am?
Yeah.
No one tweeted me nothing?
Yeah.
Come now. Yeah. Maybe Facebook has broken down because no one said anything to me. You know, I have a friend who's obsessed about followers. Like, they'll be checking them each and every day. Like, oh, I gained 3 followers today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, wow. It makes a big difference.
That's very interesting.
And speaking of broadening your business ideas and growing your brand and all of that, another extreme is when someone makes Facebook their office.
Okay.
I keep saying to people, I remember someone has said it before, that Facebook is like Monopoly.
Mm.
It's like you make fake money. You've got fake followers. Okay, I mean, they're not fake. It's like, just because you've got 50,000 followers, that doesn't, it's not money.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So this lady, what she would do, she'd be giving tips, she'd be giving advice, and people would follow her. Mm. They'll follow her and they'll be like, thank you so much. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Mm.
Then she'll advertise, okay, I have a talk at Southern Sun. I have a talk, Kokaikai. You know, this is what I'll be talking about. Come. Admission is 100 rand. Admission is 200 rand. Four people will pitch.
Yeah.
This is when someone has like 12,000 followers.
Yeah.
And then it's very heartbreaking, because it's like, I don't understand, you know, that you would catch feelings, write long posts and just complain and then like tell people off and tell them how disappointed she is. She thought she had a crush. I'm like, no, you don't, sweetie. Mm. People go onto Facebook when they've got time. Mm. And just because we engage a lot on Facebook, it doesn't mean I'm going to make you money. Mm. So these are some of the relationships that you need to grow beyond Facebook. I've met beautiful, amazing people on Facebook. But it goes beyond the blue banner. Mm. It goes beyond the like. It goes beyond the comments.
So the saying, we could actually debate the saying that people love your work until they have to pay for it.
Absolutely.
As long as you dish out the...
It's free.
As long as it's free, then you get likes. And I think also, based on what you're saying, there's two things that I've also observed. Is that, excuse me, you find that you have a lot of followers, but your level of interaction is not even 1%.
Yeah.
You look at like serious people that have like over 5 million, you know, followers, and you look at the number of retweets, you look at the number of likes, it's like 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, where do you strike a balance in terms of how do you know who are those people that are still, you know, actively using? Because there are those people that have forgotten their passwords and so forth.
Yeah.
So,
funny enough, this morning, I don't know what made me go look at the president's Twitter account. And his last tweet was in February 2015. Okay. Verified and all. I'm like, oh, the president is not tweeting. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there are people that have a lot of followers, and then they will post a picture, for instance, and then people will comment, and no one acknowledges that. Mm. And people get tired of it. People get tired. It's like, okay, clearly we're just fans. We're just retweeting what you're saying, or we're just commenting on what you've put up. Mm. But then you don't come back and acknowledge it, you know? Mm. I know that other people who do these things well, like you hit 10,000 followers, you're like, hello, welcome to all my 10,000 followers, blah, blah, blah. You hit 20, so on and so forth. Mm. But when you don't acknowledge this, because as much as it looks fake, but it is somehow interconnected. People will catch feelings. I would catch feelings as well. Mm. So when you have said something to someone, and when you have said, especially when you're talking to a whole lot of people, I think it's important to actually come back and say, yes, by the way, this is what I thought. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Click that like. Mm. Honestly, it takes nothing out of you. Mm-hmm. And people, you have to make time, especially if you're like a celebrity, a so-called celebrity, a personality, well-known personality. I think you need to take some time out and say, from 11 o'clock to 11:30, all I'm going to do is tweet or retweet or read comments and actually acknowledge people. And I think that's what makes people follow you more. But when you don't talk at people, people love to be spoken to. It is a serious cyber relationship, and you'll be surprised how hearts are affected.
There's also something that I had learned in radio as well. The power of, you know, when you talk on radio, you don't say, you people out there, because you're talking to one person.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know? So you're talking to that. So, and you want to relate to that person.
Uh-huh.
And I think it goes back to what you're saying as well, that, you know, on Twitter, you are talking to people.
Yeah.
And there are those people who actually love your work, and they actually respond to you.
Yes.
You know, and where does it end? You know, do you actually go out of your way to also acknowledge them?
Yeah.
And you know, further to that, you know, I mean, for example, some of my best relationships are the ones where, you know, we started on Twitter and people would attend everything. If I go get invited somewhere, they'll actually come and attend.
Absolutely.
And that's how much, you know, social media has actually, you know, built my networks.
And you were saying you wrote a book. I wrote a book. Okay. And my book launch.
Yeah.
My book launch was attended by people I met on Facebook.
What is the name of your book?
We Kissed the Sun and Embraced the Moon.
How?
But people came via Facebook. They bought the book via Facebook.
Mm.
You know, even now, they're still ordering books.
What do you mean they? We? Because I bought my copy through Facebook.
Well, you didn't have a choice. Oh. I was going to, like, deliver it on your doorstep and ask you for the money.
Hey.
So you had to buy it. You had to buy it. You know? And when you do that, when you do that interaction with people, then they understand that you know where they're getting from, because they're coming from. Because even as the person who tweets, when you say, hello, everyone, you're not just saying hello. Somehow at the back of your mind, you're hoping someone better say hello back.
Mm.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
You can have 10 million followers. Mm. I mean, I don't remember how many followers the I think it's 462,000 followers. And the last tweet was a whole year ago. And then I looked for Kim Kardashian. She's a couple of million, like 7-8 million. And then I said, let me check how many followers President Barack Obama has. He's got 78 million. Yes. The man is untouchable.
Yes.
But then how much does he tweet? And I look at his timeline and actually he does tweet a lot, you know. Even though there is administration and then they will say when he does a personal tweet, he will put B.O. At the bottom to say it's his own personal tweet. But they keep it active. They keep it alive. Mm. So it doesn't help to just want to be out there and say nothing. And I think there was, one of the funniest things is when someone has 5 followers, but then the account is private. You're like, why?
Yeah.
can you get like 500?
But let me tell you. I actually asked the question. And I find that most of the time, the person with the private account actually has, you know, they have a partner who is jealous.
Yeah.
They actually have a partner who's jealous. So, you know, you have some partners who would actually ask you, why did you take a picture with that person? You know, remove that person. You know, why are you posing with that person? I don't like the way you're looking at them on their Instagram account. No, you actually get people like that.
Yes, absolutely, you do.
So that's why people lock their accounts.
Yeah, but then I don't know if, is it allowed for partners to, you know, partners, spouses, some don't even follow each other.
Yeah.
Because they know that they will just lose their minds.
Yeah.
But I think we need to develop relationships where it is okay that when we are married or when we are in a relationship, I can basically go onto your timeline and then see who's saying this, who's saying that, and you do the same. Mm. And some of the stuff you comment a lot. You know, because it makes people uncomfortable and uneasy when they're not sure if they're stepping on someone's toes, you know, because I'm telling you, it is so, so sensitive sometimes. It is so, so sensitive when people don't know that they can actually be open with someone. And but you know me, I just go.
When you are known for being the most controversial social media personality.
But you know why? Because I choose to be honest. I always think that telling the truth and being telling people your silliness. I mean, you know, I put up such silly posts all the time, and it just gets so horrible and so, so bad that everyone will be like, oh no, we don't believe you did that. We can't believe you did that. Why would you do that? And did you put that? I mean, everyone knows that I've got stretch marks all over. They know that I've got a lot of cellulite. They laugh at me when I'm awake. They know all my faults. I tell them when I'm hungry, when I've eaten magwenya, when so you clearly, bring me chicken licking.
So clearly we need to work on a reality show now.
Most definitely. Yeah? Most definitely. Well, we're going to go on a break and we'll be back.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Of course, if you just tuned in, welcome to a show called Belighted with your truly Ram. You see what you got me to do?
Are you going to say Ramster?
No. Remember, you got us to go Ramiofied. Yeah. So now I got a tongue twister on my own name.
Yeah. Well, Belighted with Rami and Romeo.
There you go. So we've said so many things, and it's very important, you know, because I'm a facilitator, and as a facilitator, it's important that we kind of like summarize what we talk about. We said so many things. We moved from one topic. Obviously, the topics were kind of like
Maramza,
intertwined.
I told you that today we are actually allowed to be all over the place.
The concept of unradio.
Absolutely. The concept of unradio, because we just so off the cuff, we speak as we go. And with two people with crazy heads and crazy minds and brains like we have.
Hectic.
Yeah, so it does get a bit hectic. Yeah. But, you know, I wanted to take you back to the post that I put on about you and me saying we're starting something and everybody can't.
But you actually said, just to confirm, you actually said we're starting something.
Yes.
And then, people just...
People just went loose, and there were very clever people who were like, come on, why is nobody getting what you're saying?
Yes.
You know, I mean, people like Gabby Mbele, and my friend Tepo, a lot of people, even my sisters, they were like, oh no, man, what are you guys going to start?
Yes.
And then everyone else was like, congratulations, when is the wedding? I'm going to practice my step with someone said they're going to practice their step with their silver stilettos. And someone was saying they've been praying for us. And, you know, it really got so personal and so hectic that when I said no, we didn't do it, then got bad. But I want you to tell us your side of the story, because I know that even your family called to check with you if do you have a thing with me.
But you see, it goes back to the power, whether, you know, you talk about the power of radio, you know, the power of TV or social media now.
Yeah.
Because remember, innocently, somebody follows you or they follow me and, you know, they can see the trail of the conversation.
Yeah.
And they actually call my dad and like, hey, old man, congratulations. Your son is dating a celebrity.
And your father goes, which one?
Which one?
And then they go, Rami, I never. That's a crazy one.
I've always wanted to ask you though, don't you find, before we go back to this, don't you find that, you know, people would actually meet you on the street, maybe, you know, and they actually want to fight with you and say, wait, man, you're such a terrible person.
I know, they do that all the time. But hey, but you know what? I enjoy the older ladies, the older women, their boss, they're giving me tips on how to get more money out of this guy.
Oh, okay.
Older ladies are the future.
Anyway, so
they've been through it and they know it well. They're giving me hectic tips.
Yeah.
So my next relationship, the guy's going to be in trouble.
But you see, my point was that then somebody says to my dad, hey, old man, hey, your son must be careful. Then Komucho lady is hectic.
Yes, I know. They're like, Komucho is dangerous. I'm like, hey, no.
Komucho is dangerous.
How?
And I'm like, old man, no, man, relax, man. You know, it's kind of like just starting something.
But can you imagine if your dad did not know me?
You.
And he only knew Komucho.
I think as well, it's important that people must verify before they react. You know, because, you know, you read something, you don't read all of it. You kind of like stick to, you read what you want to hear, and then you react.
Listen, you know, and yes, his soul must rest in peace, please. But you know how many times the social media has killed Mandoza?
Hey.
Mandoza died 5 times before he actually died.
He actually died.
And it was just, I remember I was talking to one of my friends, I was saying to him, listen, until I see a corpse, I'm not buying the story.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care who said it. And he was like, oh, but then so-and-so said it, and they're very, you know, reputable. I'm like, listen, until I see a body in front of me, I will not believe it, because they make us catch feelings all the time. And it's not just normal public, everyone else. And when something is retweeted by a celebrity, it's even worse, because it's someone retweeting to 1 million followers, for instance, to 500,000 followers, and it just spreads like wildfire.
Hold it right there. I actually just had a thought. What about people who, you find that this person has 7 followers, and they're busy attacking someone with 100,000 followers, and this person with 100,000 followers is actually entertaining this one.
Yeah,
and we know that, you know, the 7-1 is trying to kind of like increase the end. They will be on the loose and attacking.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, I remember someone actually said that, you know what, sometimes when people are trying to be vindictive on social media and you actually entertain them, you're actually just exposing them to your followers.
Yes, because then the followers start following them to see the thread.
Yes.
You know, but there are other people who don't take that kind of thing well, eh? You attack, they block with immediate effect.
Yeah, no, Bona, like Bona.
Yeah. Yeah. No, share my blog, I don't joke.
Yeah.
I'll be like, thank you, bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Even on after the mamas, I said, guys, attacking Aka on social media is so tired. AKA.
Did they block you?
No. Then somebody said, no, ma, Hamuyo lala. Abantwana bafuna ukudlala. I blocked that girl so fast she did not know what hit her. You know?
Yeah.
But it's but then also it's being able to find balance between my space and our space. Do you understand?
Yeah, sure.
We still need to remember there'll be some personal things that we can share on social media. But now sometimes, like I mean, I've got three girls, and the older ones, the two, they are on social media, and they do their own thing, and they tweet this and this and that. I follow them, but I hardly retweet their stuff. If they say something funny that is worth retweeting, I'll retweet. But I don't even know what they're up to in terms of social media.
Yeah.
But don't make issues personal. I remember when someone attacked Florence Masebe on Twitter about her hairstyle.
Oh.
And she was like, she looks like a hobo.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Florence responded and said, hobo ke mau. Something like that. That hashtag, hobo ke mau, trended for a good 4 days.
Mm.
4 days.
Yeah.
And that lady had 132 followers. She had to make her account private because everyone was just all over her case. And people started posting pictures of themselves with their afro hair, their natural hair, and all of that. And it just went on and on and on and on.
But I find that also, and I think I like this personally. I saw as well one of our friends, actually a TV station, you know, their whole Twitter account went and actually commented about, you know, what, you know, they commented about their lifestyle, whatever.
Yeah.
And you actually read the thread and people are taking the TV stations like, really? So I think I'm starting to like that where people are saying, like, just mind your own business. You know,
yeah,
like,
but besides that, Maromza, I think the distance, the same thing that we're talking about with my personal space, our personal space, and everybody's personal space. I mean, you can check the impact some of the hashtags have had socially around the country. Yeah. You know, I mean, to check where Fees Must Fall is going, or where how it started and where it went, and how viral it has become. I mean, now we're just like dealing with issues altogether. But There are some of the hashtags that have changed people's mindsets, that have changed and turned situations around. So it goes back to the point of how responsible are you when it comes to social media and social platforms and the power that you have in your hand. Because once you tweet it, that's it. Before you delete it, someone clever has screen munched it.
And
they'll keep reminding you.
But also, I find that a lot of us, especially when you become a bit careless with your social media interaction, and, you know, it has come out that a lot of employers are actually now actually going online and checking your interaction, you know, to see exactly the kind of things you say, your posts.
Yeah.
And if you look anything, you know, that is not going with their corporate look, or their brand, actually, it's amazing how that actually influences the decision.
Exactly.
So I think, especially to the young, you know, the young generation, it's very important that you actually remember, you know, people would say, hey, it's just Twitter, don't catch feelings.
Yeah, but then you do catch feelings and your money can be affected with that. And another flip side of social media and having a following is something that is giving the entertainment industry a run for their money. Because now, you go to an audition, one of the things they ask you first is, how many followers do you have? It's no longer about the talent that you're bringing on the table. It's no longer about that you've been acting for 22 years. So what? So what if you've been acting for 22 years? We need someone who's going to tweet, who's going to promote the show, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. And we need someone with a good social a social media following. And you, if you don't tweet, if you don't Facebook as much as you should, if you don't post on Instagram as much as you should, then the corporate world, they feel that their brand might just be compromised, you know. So there are a lot of people who buy into that hype of having a lot of social media followers. So but we still cannot find the balance. Because now, there's this whole thing. Remember the hashtag, open the industry? Open the industry, where, like, now we've got veteran actors, Bogogorami, saying, okay, so clearly since I don't have 500,000 followers, I can't get a certain role, you know? And then then someone will be like, but I'm not even on social media, but I'm a very good actor. So basically you mean that you're saying to me that I can't even audition. Yes. Just because I don't have that. Mm. So we need to find a balance. I understand the corporate world in terms of advertising and all of that. That means a lot to them.
Yeah.
But there's a certain element where art, entertainment, the mastery and the actual talent, the pure rawness, if there's a word like that, of the talent gets to be compromised because of the social media following of someone. And they tend to overlook that. So we'd rather have someone who has a million followers, and they will learn as they go, instead of having someone who we know that they're going to kill the role, they're going to take the film or the soapy, whatever it is, the series to greater heights, because they're not even going to tell anybody. I mean, I tweet a lot. I don't have a lot of followers, but I tweet a lot.
Yeah.
But I've got an alter ego.
Mm.
You know, I have a Komojo on social media, and Komojo is just like tweeting left, right, and center.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it wasn't going to take off. This guy is on the money. He is on the money, and he's just doing a whole lot of things. So we need to be careful. That's all I'm saying. We need to be careful in terms of social in terms of social media. You know,
I mean, at the end of the day, we're not claiming to be, you know, social media specialists.
No, not at all.
But I think also based on our own personal experiences as well. I mean, for example, I don't know if you actually caught on a tweet. I actually tweeted something very simple, and I said, don't hurt people intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And someone changed my intentionally to internationally.
And it's so funny.
And that tweet went on for months. And I actually got harassed, you know, because people were, had them locally, had them provincially, you know. So you understand that if I was not very strong, either usually you deactivate your account, you know, you open another account, you know, and so forth. So I think it's very important to draw a line to say how much has social media really taken over your life that you can't breathe anymore.
Yeah, like if someone diss you, this past few days, Pearl tweeted a wrong verse. It was just a wrong chapter.
Mm.
Proverbs 2, verse 23, instead of Proverbs 4, verse 23. Hey, that thing caught fire.
Yeah.
And you know what I like about it? She just so got over it. She kept on saying, sweetie, just add another 2. It will give you 423. Just add another 2.
Yeah.
She just brushed it off like it went on. People, they were trying. She was like, listen, I don't care.
Mm.
And she didn't, you know. But then those are the kind of things that we need to know, that we need to remember how to not catch feelings, because there is no way every person will have that day on Twitter.
And also the concern that a lot of parents, you know, you are a parent, and, you know, if we can feel, you know, so influenced by social media at our age, what about kids at the age of 12, 13 who are already on social media?
Exactly.
And when does a parent say, I'm going to follow my kids, whether they like it or not, I'm going to call myself Robocop and follow them. Because if I use my name, they will know.
They will lose you.
Yeah, so you understand? All I'm saying is, check. If people actually get so affected, what about children, the young children? And how do you, as a parent, you know, kind of like protect your children from being affected by this? You see?
Yeah, it's actually difficult, because right now our kids have cell phone. I mean, my first cell phone. I got my first cell phone when I was 24. And it was that back thinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole brick of Nokia.
I remember.
Yeah, you have to balance it with your shoulder as well. Like you hold it with your hand and then you balance it between your neck and shoulder just so that it doesn't fall off. And then every time you speak, 3 months later down the line, you're starting to walk more to your left side, depending which side you
that
use.
That phone was heavy. You had an aerial that you open.
But the Motorola, the SIM card was like a whole size of a bank card. It's like you're going, that thing was an ATM. It's like you can withdraw cash.
Yeah.
You can withdraw cash out of it. So that's how long ago I got my phone. Hmm. But now, my youngest one is 9, and she has an iPhone.
Yeah.
Because it's easy if we use the same brand, you know, we can FaceTime, we do the messengers and this and this and that.
Yeah.
But she is not allowed to be on social media. Those are the things that we've spoken about. I'm like, no, you can have WhatsApp, you can have this, you can have that. But as parents as well, we need to monitor our own kids. And it's not just about even with social media, it's about a whole lot of things. But it's just we have to use our own discretion and say, no, you can't be on Twitter, you can't be on Instagram. Who are you talking to? And with a whole lot of problems that we have, but don't forget that as much as social media is a connector, it also connects people negatively. That's where pedophiles look for kids. That's where people are sold for sex. They'll say there's a job for you in Namibia. We've got a job for you in Dubai. Bloody, bloody, blah. You get on a plane. Everything is paid for. You get on the other side. Ha! Next thing you're like, this is not the photo of the place you showed me, you know.
So, talk about dresses. Ladies who buy clothes, you see, you find a picture, you find a picture, and then you buy, and then before and after, like,
and then they deliver the outfit, and you're like, yo, this is not the one. Yeah. You don't even know what is going on, and it is so, it's so bad. And speaking of that, also there are people who are just putting a whole lot of pressure. Yeah. On our society through social media. Someone will be in their own bathtub right here around the corner. And they'll be checking in Brazil. You know what I mean? And some photos are so photoshopped.
Yeah.
And then you're like standing outside. A friend of mine who's very, very famous. I'm not going to say who. She taught me a very big, big secret about social media.
You can whisper it to me.
I'll tell you later. Okay. You know what she was saying to me? She says, what she does, instead of taking photos every day, she takes a whole lot of outfits. Like, let's say if she's got a shoot in Cape Town or a shoot in Zanzibar or whatever, she takes as many pictures as possible in as many different outfits as possible.
Okay.
Okay? And then she will be sitting in her house right here in Rivonia, right here in Ilovo.
Okay.
And she'll be giving us pictures from Brazil, from Dubai, from Cape Town.
Actually, people actually do that.
And yes, people do that. So because you can't wake up every day to take a picture. You can't wake up every day to pose. People are sick and tired. It's difficult to keep up. And even when you've got like nice food, someone else took a friend of mine's picture of her dinner. Someone else took a picture of the dinner, literally put it on their own Twitter account and their own Facebook and say, dinner with friends. And guess what? That other lady went back and called her out and said, hey, Wena, this is my photo. Delete it. This is my photo. These are my plates. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, we actually out of time. I mean, you can see that
we are out of time.
We can say a lot in an hour. But I think then we need to then set the context in terms of, you know, next week we're back.
We're back next week.
Every
next
week we've got from 3 to 4.
Absolutely.
And we going to start inviting guests. So if you know that you are our friend, we will surprise you have to come through.
Made those calls, and most of them they've said yes. We just have to decide who's coming through.
Yeah,
but it's going to be so exciting. We are not going to be talking anything out of ordinary.
Yeah,
out of the ordinary. No, I'm lying. We will be talking everything out of the ordinary because we are on radio like that. We'll be doing anything and everything that normal radio doesn't do.
Okay.
So we'll be bringing you the other side of the people that you thought you knew, but you actually don't know. It's going to be lit. So be lighted and have lots and lots of fun.
Yeah, man.
Until we see each other. It's been absolutely good. Thank you, Maromza. You made it.
First day. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the second one will bring you a whole lot of context.
Right,
that's
thank you
it
so
from
much,
us.
Cheers out.
Be delighted.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.